Hello, good people. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about the weird in the world, and the topics range from crazy to explosive. All in our episodes that make you want to love and have fun and talk with us. Join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.me/kindcast or on Twitter and Instagram at kind_cast. This is kind of a big deal, and it's time for a show. Welcome to the second to last episode of the season as we join together to talk about some family drama as Carrie strikes again with her bullshit. I get pulled into yet another family fight, and this time it trickles over into work. Doug has another crazy week at work, which he will tell us all about. We have an official date as we announce an awesome new project. We tease something great. I'm your host, Terry Miller, and I am joined by the handsome
Doug Parks. So, Terry, I am quite interested in hearing about how your week has gone, you know?
How my week has gone?
Yeah. Like, how's your week gone? How was your week?
Honestly wish it was an airplane and it flew away.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, my entire life and existence. It has been too much drama. Too much bullshit, always going on. And the thing that I constantly say is I don't want into any of the drama. I don't want in the middle of it. I don't want anybody bringing me into anything.
Same way. But you know, when we say that, people just flock to us like magnets because, oh, look, here's a person that's peaceful and happy. Let me fuck it up.
Yeah. And like, I don't want that. So, of course, my sister, you know, strikes again. So after all this drama that had gone on and everything from last time we had talked with y'all is now like trickling over into my work. So the Sunday night, I got a call from my boss asking me if I was around somebody that had been exposed to COVID-19, and I knew they were exposed. I had told her no, and she's like, well, your father left me a message and said that you were at a party and you were around somebody that was exposed to COVID-19. And I said, no.
We went tubing over the weekend.
Yeah, I said I went tubing over the weekend. So she said, you weren't at a party Friday night. No, I was not at a party Friday night. So,
yeah, we actually went to bed early Friday night so we can get up and go tubing early in the morning.
Yeah, I worked at Mom Pa.
Yeah.
For Brad Friday night.
Yeah, and then when you got off, we went right to bed.
Exactly. So this was told to her. I had explained to her, no, that was not the case. I wasn't around anybody that I knowingly knew was exposed to COVID-19. And if I was, I would have already called her and I would have already told her. There's people that live where Doug and I live that could be exposed to COVID-19 and could really hurt them. If it's real, that's a whole nother story.
Well, but what your clarification on what you just said, like there's people in this house that have just got over cancer and they have diseases that if exposed to COVID-19 could kill them. So we are very careful. We don't go around and do stuff like that. You know?
Agreed. And like, for instance, my friend Brenda was having a get together because her and her husband had gotten married and there was going to be more than 10 people at that party. And Doug and I said we weren't going to go because we didn't know them.
Yeah, I have to work and you have to work. And I don't want to take this shit to my work and hurt people that I care about, you know?
Exactly. Me too. I like Miss Wendy and I like her mother. Her mother's elderly. I don't want to hurt her.
Yeah.
I like Tracy and her husband because they both work where I work and they have two young children. If it can hurt them, I'm not going to put them in danger. Just like the two young children that live in our house right now. Mm. Both my sisters are pregnant. They could get hurt by it. My stepdad just got done going through cancer. He could get hurt by it. Like, there's a lot of different things that could hurt people that are living in the house that we're living in. So, you know, she ran her mouth and everything like that. It had come up at work and they asked me finally, you know, I had explained it to her. Well, Monday I woke up and my dad went into work and acted like an ass and brought all this shit into work and said that he didn't think that I should be in there and all this other shit. You know, lo and behold, when it was all said and done, you know, the wolves were crying wolf and there was nobody that had COVID-19. The lady across the street had an allergic reaction to tooth medicine. She took her tooth medicine, then took pain pills on top of it and had an allergic reaction to it. When they coincided, it gave her a reaction. So it was a bunch of bullshit and they were trying to make it more than what it was.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, your mom was talking about that, the lady across the street. But we don't, like, we know the neighbors. Your mom knows them, but they never come over here. Nobody comes over here.
Yeah,
it's not like we go hang out with people.
The girl that they're talking about is Brenda's sister. So, like, we know who she is. Mom knows who she is. But it's not like they come over here and have beers with us and, you know, sit down and talk with us. You know what I mean?
If we're going to get accused of it, we might as well just throw a massive party.
We might as well.
Let's have fun. You know, let's just do the damn thing.
You know, at this point, I'm so tired of hearing it about how I'm a piece of shit and I've done everything wrong in my life. Well, I'm sorry, but I have a message for my family. I have done everything in my life to love you and to appreciate you, and you have done nothing but tear me down and make me feel like I was less than I am. So therefore, from now on, if you cannot show me love and respect, you are not a part of my life. Plain and simple. I will not have the negativity. I will not have the drama. I have a life that I am building. And yes, I like dick. Get over it.
What? You're gay?
Huh.
Oh, fuck this. I'm never talking to you again.
This isn't going to work.
Yeah, I thought you liked vagina this whole time. Why am I wasting my time in this relationship if you like dick?
Oh, my God. All right.
I think people who you hate in others what you hate about yourself.
Agreed.
If you hate Terry because he's gay, why don't you check your own sexuality, bitch? That's what I got to say about it. And yeah, that goes for anybody. Anybody in this world that has a problem with anybody in this world, it is because you have a problem with yourself. Check that shit first and quit judging people and hating people.
Exactly.
It just makes you look like an idiot. Makes you look like a damn fool.
So let me put it to you this way. And this makes me sound so fucking ignorant saying this, but I'm going to put it out there because I need to put it out there. Is on top of what Doug has said, is if you are extremely prejudiced, you don't like gays, you think it's gross, you think it's nasty, Probably the reason why is because you don't have the balls to do what they did. You don't have the balls to experiment or try to figure it out. You have these feelings in your head and you just want to suppress them. So you start taking your anger out on the gays because deep down inside, boo-boo, you like the penis.
Well, I was talking to a girl at work today on a side note, and we were talking about religion because my parents are religious. Religion, not Jesus Christ, teaches you to hate and judge people and put them down. Christ never did that. When he came, his judgments was against the church itself for being judgmental and hypocritical. So if you want to get tied up in judgment and hypocrisy, then you're not of Jesus Christ. You're of some man-made religion that is laying down rules and laws that everybody must live by or they don't go to heaven. That is not Christ. That is Old Testament law in order to be perfect to get into heaven. That is totally against what you believe in as a Christian. And if you're that dumb that you can't pick up a Bible and read what is really there written in red, then you don't need to be jumping on the bandwagon with anybody and telling them how they should live their life because your shit ain't right. You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. I don't care if it's a religion that's against yours or a belief that's against yours. If you don't love those people, then don't fucking open your mouth. You know what I mean? Because you're going to be judged by that shit. You know?
Yeah, and so I think a lot of everything that's, you know, going on in the world, you know, you want to throw shame and you want to throw blame, you know, and there's two sides to every story. You know, my sister's going to tell the story and her side's going to be completely fucking different. We both were in the wrong with everything, but don't continue to connive and bring people down. And when you are in your 40s and in your 50s, do not act like you're a high school fucking kid. I am almost 30 fucking years old. I have one more fucking year until I'm 30. And I am more mature than both my father and my stepmother put together.
Yeah. I personally don't care. Like, I have a life that I want to be happy. And if I have to move to fucking Texas to get that, or fucking Australia or wherever, I'm willing to go there to get away from all this nonsense because I don't care. My family's full of fucking nonsense. Your family's full of nonsense. Childish stuff that doesn't fucking matter. It is none of anybody's business what you and I do. It is only their business what they do. So if you don't agree with that, that's fine. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I don't judge you. You can go and hate and waste all your time you want. I'm going to do me somewhere else and not be a part of that shit because I really don't care no more. You know, my family can go to hell. I don't care. I have the people around me, my friends and family, the family that is left that love me and don't judge me. And yeah, they're fucked up. They got their issues, but I love them anyway. You know, because they're them. A lot of their shit I don't agree with, but it's them. It's none of my business. You know, it doesn't mean I don't love them. But
and I think that there's just so much going on and there's so many feelings and everything like that. And I'm trying my best to stay out of everything and I'm ignoring everybody because I know it's just anger and anger makes you say things and do things that you wouldn't normally do. And just at this point, I've had enough and I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be an asshole because I've always been the one that was a constant people pleaser. That's who I am as a person, and I have finally given up pleasing people. I have been hurt.
It's okay to be a people pleaser as long as one of the people you're pleasing is yourself. There's no balance. It's going to wear you out.
Yeah. I'm never pleasing myself. I've never pleased myself.
No, you've jerked off. I've seen it.
Okay. In that sense, yes, I have pleased myself many times.
Do you think about the hateful words your parents say when you jerk off?
No. Do you?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I jerk off to the consequences of my own actions. That's why I made it a t-shirt.
Yeah. So anyways, how was your week?
My week was good. You know, awesome. Like the best week of my life. I got the opportunity to find out who the lying sacks of shit at my job are. I got to see things for the first time in what they really are. And I know who has my back, who doesn't, who is lying and manipulating, who's a coward, who is, you know, a hypocrite. And I've been afforded that opportunity to see that. And now I can take that information and place them where they need to be while I love them from a distance, do my job, and look forward to when I'm finally successful in our t-shirt company and not worrying about this shit, you know? So, yeah, I had a great week. It didn't feel that great. My weekend was fucked up. I was basically treated like I'm a no good piece of shit in a nice way. So it's almost like my company said, bless your heart. You know what I mean? Like some people matter, some people don't. That's just the thing. But the problem is the people that don't matter are usually the ones that should matter. Because they're the ones that care. They're the ones that put their heart and soul into stuff. And when they're overlooked or cast aside, shame on you.
And that doesn't just go at work. That goes in life in general. Life itself. I mean, stop pushing people away because they're good for you. You push all the people away that are good for you, and you keep all these people around that are bad for you. And then what do you end up with? You end up with a bunch of friends that are tearing you down and getting you into drugs and fucking up your life.
You end up with strawberry, watermelon, sparkling ice.
And that
sounds
too.
Like it should be good, but when you drink it, it's like a strawberry flavored watermelon rind.
So
it's not good.
Tastes like ass?
Well, yeah. I don't know. It tastes like ass from a girl that moves into your house and is totally disgusting and doesn't clean herself and uses VO5. As body wash when it doesn't even work on your hair. That's what it smells like.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean.
Well, I definitely ain't going to choose that as a cologne.
All right. So outside of that.
We went and had some tubing fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I love tubing. Every weekend, we pretty much in the summer, I go tubing. I didn't know if that would be a situation that would arise with our relationship. Because we got together the first of this year. So we haven't experienced a summer together yet.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if you were one of those namby-pambies that was going to bitch and cry because you're the river the whole time. Or if you were going to enjoy it. And I'm really quite glad that you're somebody that enjoys it, you know. Because a lot of people tell me, oh, I want to go tubing. It's spectacular. I love it. And then they get out there and they're nothing but bitch and whine. Oh my God, is this going to ever end? Why is the water so cold?
Oh,
something touched my leg.
I love the water.
Yeah.
And I'm not a snake person, but like when you said there was water snakes, I was like, okay, I'll stay away from the edges. But like it just didn't bother me. Like
snakes go out into water.
I love being on the water.
But I've never had an issue with a snake. I've seen lots of I've seen probably 6 otters. I saw a beaver. I saw a skunk, and I saw a fox once. And sometimes you see deer, but very rare. With me having music going, a lot of the animals go away.
Yeah.
If I don't take the music on the river, you'll see more animals.
Yeah.
I've never taken Benny Puss. That would be interesting.
I think it's a blast. I had fun. Maya went with us, and she had fun. So... Also, speaking of Maya, let's just tease this for a second. We are working on a project that we're putting it together, and it will be coming out. It is a podcast called Pridecast 2020. It is our way of celebrating Pride and everything, you know, due to COVID-19 canceling a lot of our pride parades and everything like that. So Doug and I came up with an idea to do a 2-hour long podcast episode. We're going to try to keep it at 2 hours. If it's longer, it's longer. Who the hell cares? On top of that, we also are going to be releasing at the beginning of July a line of Pridecast items and Pride items specifically on Shopify store that I've been creating. So all of these items will be Pride related or Pridecast related. So you could buy some products and support the podcast and support Pridecast for 2021. If it, you know, goes off and everybody likes it, then we're going to bring it back and keep doing it. So Pridecast will premiere on our RSS feed for kind of a big deal on July 28th. So that is the official premiere date for Pridecast 2020. Doug, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I have a group of friends that people I love and adore that are coming forward and want to share their stories. So I'm looking forward to that. We already have that one story that mom sent in about her non-binary daughter.
Her non-binary daughter.
I can't say daughter because non-binary, it's not a daughter or a
child.
Son. Non-binary child, yeah. And like, I didn't really understand non-binary until I heard what she said. You know, and she kind of helped me open my mind to accept the pronouns and all that stuff they use. I still don't understand why, but that's because that's not my life. That's not who I am. It's perfectly okay for that person to be who they are and me to be who I am. And we both understand and accept each other. We don't have to understand completely how the other feels or what they've been through because we each have our own life. But she feels like she is non-binary. She lives as non-binary, or she was born non-binary. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care the who, the how, the from. All I care about is this is how this person wants to be treated. And to respect that person, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And love them and accept them and get to know them. You know, I have a lot of friends who might even be non-binary and don't know it yet because of the way we were growing up. We weren't taught acceptance and love and openness. We were taught to be the Bible way. You know, we were taught religion and Pharisees and Sadducees type stuff, law and order. We weren't taught love and acceptance. So that's something new to me, but something I'm open to. Whereas the older generation is either open or closed to them. They don't have an in-between really. But that's okay. That's them. That's the way they were raised. I'm not judging that. But yeah, like you have to love and accept people. If you don't understand it, the best way to understand it is to get to know them and talk to them and ask the questions. It's okay for you to say, help me understand non-binary and what it means. It's totally okay. I'm pretty sure anybody will talk about it unless they're being a fake bitch and they're just grabbing a hold of something for attention and they don't really know what it's about. Other than that, anybody should be willing to ask you your questions if you just ask. You're getting to know somebody. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
And I think that a lot of people, they have pride misconstrued it. And I know that when I was a teenager till now, like, I see pride differently because I feel like I had it misconstrued it. And a lot of people will be like, oh, well, you know, they're just a bunch of weirdos out there trying to prove their point. But it's also about educating and accepting others and opening people's minds to be able to accept and love and everything like that. So it definitely is a great thing to, you know, celebrate and have pride in who you are and be who you want to be. And we're going to have a lot of guests and fun times. Talk to some people that you haven't heard from before. And Doug and I have a trip planned to Tennessee July 4th, and a lot of our stuff that we're doing while down there is for a Pride cast. So we're taking it seriously and we're working on it, and we really do hope that people are educated and more people are comfortable maybe next year in the future, like opening up and talking about their story and who they are and what has brought them to the place that they are in their lives and their journey through, whether you're non-binary or gay or even straight. You know what I mean? Like, have pride in who you are. It's all a big piece of it.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're working on, and we have that coming very soon. I mean, it's going to be like blink and then it's going to be here. So we'll be right back. Let's take a second to talk about Midnight Alchemy. Midnight Alchemy is all natural products that make you feel better, using nothing but non-GMO, gluten-free, and non-animal tested products. Doug and I personally have used the pain-relieving balm, and it is amazeballs. It starts working after about 10 minutes and makes you feel so much better. We have also tried the Thieves Oil, the exfoliating face masks, and the Earthly Realms Therapeutic Body and Rim Mist. All Midnight Alchemy products are hand-created by Karen Jones, one awesome human being that cares about making you feel better. To order, go to Etsy.com and search Midnight Alchemy LLC. For more information, follow Midnight Alchemy on Facebook at facebook.com/MidnightAlchemy423. Midnight Alchemy, the power of healing naturally. Bye!
And we're back. How are those fucking lovely commercials about my cousin? Yeah, like, I really love my cousin's company, and I thank you all out there who support her, and keep it up. So we're back, and Terry and I last week had discussed our house search and how we were looking for places in Glen Rock, PA, and other areas such as that, and we've also been considering moving to Virginia, maybe, and we've been looking at some places down there, and there's this really beautiful place. Property's not that expensive. So it's like we need to search that out, too, and find out if that's an option for us. You know, we might have to buy a house here for a couple years, and then when we sell it, pay it down, sell it, take that money and equity and buy a house outright. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
And I think that the thing with you and I is, and sorry to cut you off because I do that a lot, is you and I are very strategic on our things, but we're also very realistic, almost to a point where you kind of don't see it too often. Like, there's like things that we are very much looking for that we want to have. But then there's things that we're trying to figure out, can we live without? For instance, we have our t-shirt company that we're starting. We want room to be able to make the t-shirts and to be able to be creative. And I've mentioned I want an office and, you know,
art room.
You probably want, an art room. You want a space to yourself.
Swimming pool.
We want, swimming pool. We talked about that as well. You know, we want all these different
things. A large
things.
Laundry room.
Okay.
Full basement finished.
Yeah. They get the point. So, like, we have all these
sex
things.
Sex room.
What?
Sex room.
Okay. Now, that we did not talk about, but we can revisit that. But so we have all these different things that we want, and we're now, like, looking at the houses and being like, okay, well, this house doesn't have this. Can we live without that? Or can we add that later? Or can we do something to add that? And I know a couple of times we've talked about, like, if we do buy a house, because you and I both like the idea of a container home. If we did more of like a container office or a container studio or something like that, then we could utilize the containers still and build a cheaper outside area for us to do like our work and have like some free time from everything. And like even the studio being away from the house would be kind of cool. So like there's all those different things that we're weighing in all of our different options.
Yeah, definitely. I would like a bunch of little houses on the property that are different things, like clam bake hut, you know, just go in there and clam bake. An art house. I would like tree houses that are actually like themed out for different things, you know. Just like little ideas all over the place.
And I literally just said we were realistic. And then you decide to go and just blow that right out of the water.
I'm not realistic. I have unrealistic expectations and goals. But I also don't get upset if they're not met. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean by being realistic. I have really weird things too. Whatever you just said, I'm going to agree with you. I have that too. And but both of us don't get upset or discouraged when they don't work out. We just come up with something else to do to cover up that thing that didn't work out. So I think that's kind of how the home search is going. Like, we're realistic on the front of this is exactly what we need, but then we have all these like little hopes and dreams, and that's going to come with time, and we know that. So we're kind of like knowing that we're kind of picking that house or that property that's going to be able to give us that. And it cannot come soon enough. Like, the negativity around us just consumes everything. And we've talked about this a couple of times. And if we do not do something, I have a gut feeling that something is going to happen where we're not going to work out, or we're going to end up friends, or we're going to end up hating each other, whichever way it goes. So, like, the decision needs to be made in a reasonable time, and things need to happen in a reasonable time in order to stay on path. But you also don't want to rush it too much.
I have a cousin, my cousin Karen. I talk about Karen all the time. She's an amazing individual. And she said something a few months ago that if somebody's in your life that is doing something that you just can't handle at the moment, it is okay to let them go for a while. Or it is okay for you to say, I can't handle this, I need to take some time. There's no need to bash that person or hate that person or fight with that person. It's okay to love people from a distance, because people are in different parts of their lives at different times. And sometimes it might not be meant for you to be around that person right now. It is okay to step back and focus somewhere else in your life. I have not focused on myself in a while. So I have to do that. I have to cut the people out who are just taking from me. And it's okay. I don't mind giving. I don't mind helping. But sometimes I can't. Sometimes I need to work on me, or else I'm not going to be any good to help someone. You know, I have to be selfish sometimes and focus on me. And that's okay. You know, and before I would find, when I was in that situation, I would feel guilty or feel bad. You know, and I think right now, the people that I've had to pull away from for a little while, I hope they understand that it's okay for you to go on and live your life for right now. And I'll be back if you let me. If not, that's fine too. If you can't let me have my personal time when I need it, maybe you're not supposed to be in my life, you know? Because sometimes we have to be selfish and think about ourselves. And if the people we love really believe us and love us, they're going to accept that, you know? There's people that have cut me out and then showed back up, and I'm just like, all right, you're good now. I love you, you know? And it happens a lot. And I don't get mad when people leave. There's people I kick out. Like, fuck you, you're done. I want nothing to do with you. And you know when I'm done with you, because I will cuss your ass the fuck out and tell you you're nothing but a piece of shit that only thinks about themselves, and I'll be gone. You know? But I just think, like, my cousin Karen's one of those people that has always said something that helped me in a major way. Just like my grandmother. She has wisdom like my aunts and my grandmother, you know? Because there's times when the rest of my family is just spewed nothing but judgment and hate. And that's hard to take. Especially when you don't have friends that are there to say, look, that's not true at all. Your family's being very selfish, you know? And I find that a lot today, people get like that. They don't want you to care about yourself. They only want you to care about them. Everything's about them. Everything's about what they want, when they want it, how they want it. And when, no matter how many times you tell them, I need help, I need some time, it's not given to you because they don't fucking care about you. All they care about is themselves and what they can get. King baby syndrome. You can look it up. Google it. King baby syndrome. You know, just like the cycle of defeat. You know, look up the cycle of defeat. We'll put it on the YouTube page, the Facebook page. You know, but the cycle of defeat is basically a circle of issues: anger, resentment, fear, worry, doubt. And it's like you go from one to the next and you just get on this hamster wheel and you just keep going. It doesn't solve anything until you jump off that hamster wheel. You don't get over your issue. You just keep fucking getting wore down and wore down and wore down till that wheel gets to going so fast it just spins you around and fucks you up. You know, you have to choose to get off it yourself, because when it throws you off, it's going to mess you up really bad. You know what I mean? So it's better to sit back and say, you know what? I love me more than you hate me. I love me more than you ever can. Because if somebody can't love you, then you're not going to find love for yourself from that person. And that person is just a succubus that just keeps taking and taking. You need people that are going to give and take. People that are going to be honest. People that are going to step up and have your back. Like my friend Leah, that I love that fucking bitch like more than anybody in this world right now, other than you. You know, like, I'm talking friends and family. Like, she is my top right now, my ace, because she is just nothing but, I love you, dog. I know you're going through some fucked up shit. You helped me through mine. Now I'm helping through yours. You know, and she's always had my back as far along as I've known her, like the past 5 years. When I was at Trilogy, when I first started working there, she was the first one that really came up and got to know me. And I was talking to James about this today. I said, when I first started here, I told myself, I'm not going to get to know anybody or become friends with anybody. I'm here to do a job. I'm going to do that job and I'm going to go home. And for the first 2 months, that's the way I was. Nobody really knew me. You know, my boss, Scott, would make comments and stuff and try to pull me out of my shell. And he was trying to figure out if I smoked weed or whatever it was, you know. And, you know, I'm like, I just kept to myself, didn't, you know. So then Leah started coming up and talking to me. And she's pushed herself in, you know, but did it in a way that I could tell she cared about me and was a loving person. And she at the time was dealing with a lot of stuff I didn't know about, a lot of mental issues and things she was working through, you know, but she still had love and compassion and care for somebody else. And I was just drawn to her, and she's been one of my best friends ever since, and I love her, you know. And Christina Little is another really amazing good friend of mine, but she's more like a sister, you know. Where I don't really have, I mean, I have a sister, but I don't have family no more, because I had to say, you know what? You're not going to love me. All you're going to do is judge me and put me in the middle of bullshit all the fucking time. So I'm going to let y'all go. You go do you and hate over there. I'm going to come over here with my friends and love, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have peace. We're going to have joy. We're going to have life. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, as far as my work this week, thank you, Leah. You know, really, truly, Leah and James are the only two people at work this week so far that have let me felt like I was loved, you know?
So, and I think that, you know, on top of that is that people need compassion in more ways than people usually think of compassion. Compassion comes in many different forms and different styles. And a lot of people are always like, oh, well, you're in a relationship. You must have compassion. Yeah, you might in your relationship, but that's a different type of compassion. Your compassion with your significant other is a romantic compassion where they can tell you 200 times a day that they love you and you're loved by them. But it's not going to mean anything because you hear it from them all the time. But if you hear it from a stranger on the street, like, oh, you're a great person, I really like you, like, that means something because you don't know them, you haven't heard it from them.
The problem is most people say they love you, but they don't show it. Their actions speak louder than what they're saying.
Yeah. But I'm talking about, like, in your case specifically, like, I tell you that I love you, but that's more of a romantic compassion. And you know that I mean it romantically. When James and Leah say it, they're saying it in a compassion that's a friend, a comrade. You know what I mean? Like, you're going through something, so they're there for you to lean on their shoulder. Not saying that I'm not, like, I'm not getting in that sense. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, there's a difference between your significant other being there for you and a friend or a companion being there for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, especially at work, I was telling James this yesterday, and a little bit today I was talking to somebody about it. I can't remember who. But we work, I'm with them 8 hours out of the day. I'm with them more than I am my people at home. Like, most of our time here is spent sleeping. So we're not really together, even though we're together. You know, about a half an hour in the morning and 4 hours at night is all I see you. And most of that is spent doing what we need to get done. You know what I mean? So, I like, our work families, we're around them more than anybody. So it gets hard sometimes. Things get misconstrued or rumors get spread around. People have to spread lies and sow little seeds of deception. And that stuff takes root and starts coming out in the company. People are like, this is a place of business, not personal. You can't get away from it being personal. You're around people or around people. Unless you work in a room by yourself all damn day and you're on a computer doing analysis work and you don't see people or talk to people, unless you're in a situation like that, you have to deal with getting to know people personally and developing relationships between them. And sometimes people fight. Sometimes, you know, a rat or a snake gets in the building and they cause a lot of issues. You know, and I think we've had that happen where I work. And I have a feeling it's happening right now with somebody, but, you know, it's not necessary. It really isn't, you know. And I've been feeling overlooked, and I'm a good worker. Like, I fix a lot of shit around there. I figure out a lot of problems and solve them, and I don't do it for attention. I don't go to my boss and say I did this or I did that. I just do it and it's fine. I walk away. But I think because of that, I haven't gotten the attention for all the work that I've done. So now here comes somebody else who is in the boss's face. Look what I'm doing. Look what I did. And they're getting all the attention and all the pats on the back. And I'm being left to feel like I'm screaming in the middle of a room and nobody hears me. And it's sad. It hurts. You know? And people who I think are my friends or I thought were my friends are turning out to just be people who are using me because I'm so good at my job. They just went ahead and like, oh yeah, he's amazing. Let's just keep him here because he's doing such a perfect job here. Why mess it up, you know? But really, like, I'm bored. I need something different to do. That's why I love the kitchen. You're always cooking something different, making something different. There's always something going on. Whereas this job, I do the same thing every fucking day and I hate it. You know, I'm miserable. I'm around the same people who just take advantage of that and don't really see me for what I'm doing. You know, when my supervisor, James, was out, whether he's on vacation or recently he had to take some leave for family leave and he was gone for 2 months. And the thing I don't understand is, like, my boss just said yesterday, we're not filling that manager supervisor position because the job that the supervisor usually does is being done and taken care of already. So we don't need to fill that situation. The reason why it's being filled and taken care of is because when my supervisor was gone, me and Tony stepped in and started taking up the slack. I've already been trained to do the job. I already do the job. I've been doing it for 5 years. I just automatically do what needs to be done. So if I am the one that's stepping up and doing it, why are you not seeing that and coming up with some cockamamie fucking excuse like, oh, well, it's being taken care of, so we don't see why we should fill that slot. So do you want us to stop our job and let that shit go to hell until you say, oh, I guess I need to put somebody in there? Or why don't you just take the person that's already fucking doing it and give them the acknowledgement and give them the pay and give them the job? That's why I hate when stupid people are put in positions of power, you know, because shit like this happens, you know?
So I think that, like, with all of this, the moral of it is, is when you're working in a setting like that, and people, they often compare a work setting to that of high school. Because when you're in high school and you have this big group of people, there is, quote unquote, a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy of the popular kids and the nerds and the jocks. You know, you have all the cliques.
Oh, yeah, there's a clique.
That's how work gets. I've worked at places where there was cliques. And when you stopped for lunch, like, nobody wanted you to sit with them because all their, quote unquote, friends were coming over to sit with them.
Yeah.
So, like, there is a lot of elements that are like that. And I think that you seek out the people that are going to treat you kindly and be there for you and kind of create your own quote unquote posse. And then you have the people that are getting paid to do their job, and they are getting paid this money, but they aren't really doing anything. They're just skating by. So they're nitpicking everything else that everybody else is doing to take the attention off them. So that is technically the definition text right there, in a hindsight, of what working in any company is like. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, yeah. It's just like high school.
And it's all over the place.
You know, I used to belong to the in crowd clique, and I pretty much talk to everybody there and know everybody there. And I'm friends with everybody there. There's a couple people I think are fake as hell, and I know they're fake as hell. So I just watch them and keep them distance. I don't really hang out with them, but I also don't judge them because they're just in a different place in my life than I am. You know, so I don't judge them for where they are because I used to be there. But at the same time, I don't want your shit running into my yard. You know, keep your little dog over there and he can shit in your yard. I don't want him coming over here and shitting in my yard so I have to clean up the mess. It's not going to happen. You know, and the reason why the in crowd dismissed me is because I didn't fall in line and worship and suck their asshole. I spoke and talked about how I felt and told them about themselves, and they can't handle it. And that's their shit. You know, I'm sorry, but you want to sit and talk shit about me, I'm supposed to take it. You want to joke and play and say all your little things, and I'm supposed to take it. But the minute I joke and play or say my little things, you want to get all offended. That's hypocritical. You can't have things one way and then another. You know, and then when I call you a hypocrite, you fucking snap because you know it's fucking true. You know, so it is what it is. I said it, and it ain't been the rumor around work that I said it. You know, that's weird to me. As much shit spreads around work, that little fucking bullshit between me and him Friday, ain't nobody talking about that shit. Ain't nobody hearing about it. Nobody saying nothing. Which in a way is good because I don't want to fucking deal with it. But in another way, it just goes to show you who is really in power and who is really in control and the fear that is over people when it comes to certain people. And you know what? I'm pissed off because nobody had my back. Nobody believes me except for Leah. Leah believes me. There's a handful of people there that believe me. And there's a handful of people like Leah that would have my back and would is ready, you know. But the people directly involved fucking run tail and hid. I know who you are, motherfuckers. You know?
So, to wrap this up real quick is just one thing. Is in life, surround yourself by good people and always keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
So, just a little quick announcement. Next week, you can tune in for the season finale of season one of Kind of a Big Deal podcast. We will be taking some time off and then we will be coming back with new episodes for season two. Also, check out Pridecast 2020 coming July 28th. When we come back, Kind of a Big Deal will have more structure to the show. You know, friendly listeners coming on, talking, everything. So we are excited. Also, things that we are working on is Kind of a Big Deal podcast presents Wine Club, KOABD presents Tea Time with Paul Douglas, and KOABD presents Carpool Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TerryMiller91. Follow me on TikTok at Terry Clay Miller Jr. Follow Douglas on TikTok at DouglasPark7. Follow the podcast on the Facebook page at facebook.me/kindcast. Follow the podcast Instagram and Twitter at kind_cast. So until next time, stay true, hug someone, and always be a
big deal. Love you, Canadians.
Bye.
Bye-bye.